Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Bernis, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. Today, we're going to explore Matthew chapter 24. It's a challenging chapter where Jesus prophesies the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end of the age. This chapter covers deception, wars, persecution, famines. We're going to discuss how these signs are being fulfilled today and answer the question that many of you are asking, are we in the last days? Ezra, we get a lot of questions that come to us by email, snail mail. One of the questions that we are asked over and over again is, are we in the last days?
Absolutely, Jonathan, and especially since October 7th, year ago. I mean, that Monday the 9th, we came into the office and there was already, you know, our inboxes were full of questions from partners, from those who are praying faithfully for the ministry and for the Jewish people like you are at home, saying, is this it? Has something fundamentally changed here where we're in the last days, the end is near, Jesus is coming back anymore?
Yeah, in fact, every time there's a major earthquake, we get the same question every time that there is a major event. You know, when the war broke out between Russia and Ukraine, the invasion of Ukraine, same thing. Is this the setup for the last days?
Right.
Anytime Russia moves, that's a question, because the idea that Russia will eventually end up in the Middle East, and on and on. 9/11, of course,
right.
huge moment. And I'm sure that that during World War I, believers thought this is the end. World War II, this is the end. Time keeps dragging on.
Right. And you may be asking, well, why, right? Why in World War I? Why in World War II? Did people say, is this the end? There's some key issues that we're going to unpack today.
Right.
Wars and rumors of war, to mention one, right?
Right.
Obviously, those wars were, you know, the whole world was engaged in these war, in these wars. And then another thing, especially with World War II, was happening as well. The mass persecution and to a large degree, extermination of the Jewish people. Half of the worldwide Jewish community was obliterated. And so those who were paying attention were looking at the Bible saying, these seem to be things I've heard before that Jesus himself taught on, and I'm seeing them unfold in the headlines. Does this mean it's the end, and how do we know? And I think many, as we said, have been asking that question in the last year, right? It's in increasing measure. Nations of the world are declaring their condemnation of Israel as the Jewish state and Israel's right to exist, vilification of Israel in the headlines. We're hearing wars and rumors of war with Iran, the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine, you know, war on the ground against Hamas in Israel. And so many, maybe you at home, are legitimately asking the question, is this just kind of a dress rehearsal, or is this the real deal? And Jonathan, how can we know?
Sure. Well, the reason that I wanted to focus on Matthew chapter 24 today is because it has some of the clearest signs that point to the end of days.
Right.
In fact, Matthew 24 is a response to questions asked by the disciples, when will this happen? What will happen before you return?
Exactly.
And so it lays out a scenario. There's two things that I want to point out that we see in Matthew chapter 24. First of all, we need to understand that Israel, and in particular Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, is the focal point for the scenario concerning the last days. There's events that affect the whole world.
Right.
Famines, rumors of wars, deception affects the entire world. But the answer that Jesus gives his disciples is specifically connected to Israel, the state of Israel, the land of Israel, and in particular, Jerusalem. That's very, very important. The U.S. is not the center of last day's focus. It's Jerusalem.
Right.
That's one point. The second thing, and this is harder to comprehend, Matthew chapter 24 is not a chronological series of events. It's not chronological. It's outside of a specific time frame. It has to do with an overall world condition and what's going on in Jerusalem at a specific time. But the events are not necessarily chronological. In fact, they're cyclical. What do I mean by that? Mm-hmm. It means that the events that are mentioned in Matthew 24 actually repeat themselves again and again. We'll get to this in more detail. I just want you to grasp this. It's not a chronological series of events.
Sure.
Like a bunch of famines occurring at once. Mm-hmm. There's famine over millennia. Mm-hmm. There's earthquakes that have taken place over millennia, centuries and centuries since the first century. But it's cyclical. But there is a scenario that we see in Matthew 24 that we can understand the end of the age is near.
I've heard many teachers in the Jewish community, many rabbis say you can't think of Bible history or Jewish history as a chronological line, right? A, B, C, D, E, eventually we get to Z. You have to think of it as a series of cycles and themes.
Exactly.
That's slowly spiraling up towards a destination, towards an acharit, we say in Hebrew, right? A predetermined certain end, but it's not a line. It's cycles and themes.
Yeah, that's the concept that I want people to understand.
And right.
This will be clearer as we go through Matthew 24.
Yeah. So Jonathan, referring to Israel having the central role, right? The land and the people of Israel in the last days, I think often in the Christian circles we hear that there's an awareness that Israel, the Jewish people, and those living in the land of Israel have to go through difficult times between now and the return of the Lord. But it's almost like the Jewish people are pawns on God's end time chessboard, right? It's really about the church and whatever happens to the Jewish people. Well, that's a means to a necessary end, and Jesus is coming back. That's not what we see in the scriptures.
No.
Of course, he's coming back for the church, for his bride, the body of Messiah, Jew and Gentile, who believe in him. But Israel, the land and the people of Israel play a central role. And there's something else, Jonathan, we shouldn't miss. That if this is the Lord, right, saying, this is my intent for Jewish people back in Jerusalem to recognize me, Jesus, as Messiah, right? So there's spiritual promises here, which means there's spiritual repercussions when the promises are fulfilled. How does the retaking of Jerusalem connect to the Jesus movement? Maybe you've never thought about this before.
Well, that's a very, very good point. Not by coincidence, immediately following the restoration of Jerusalem into Jewish hands, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It actually began on the west coast of the United States, and it spread like wildfire throughout the Western world, into Europe, et cetera. It's now known as the Jesus movement, as the charismatic renewal. There was a major revival in denominations, and I think even more important for us in the Messianic movement, there was this incredible influx of young people, and they became believers, and many of them were Jewish.
Right.
And they're the leaders that we have today in the Messianic movement, although we're getting older and we need to hand off the torch. The Messianic Jewish movement actually was formed as a result of the Six-Day War and the Jesus movement.
So there's a spiritual connection.
Absolutely.
To Jewish presence back in the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, and a move of God to draw Jewish men and women to himself worldwide.
Let me actually just mention also, in 1948, with the restoration of Israel, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit called the Latter Rain Movement. But 67 was more prominent. So there's a physical restoration, and there's a spiritual restoration that follows,
right.
And this has happened repeatedly.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. So we've got part one. Jerusalem is back in Jewish hands.
Yeah. There's hugely important.
Right. Partial spiritual revival, specifically affecting Jewish families, Jewish men and women worldwide. But part two is not yet fulfilled. As you said, largely the worldwide Jewish community flat out rejects the messiahship of
Jesus.
Correct. He's not an option for our people.
Two things again. The center point of the last days, of the end of the age, is Jerusalem.
Right.
Israel, and specifically Jerusalem.
It's very clear in the scriptures and what we've been talking about today that a prerequisite to Jesus' return is Jewish people, Jewish men and women, Jewish children, recognizing Yeshua, which means salvation, Jesus, as the Messiah of our people.
Yes.
But how can we call upon the one we haven't believed in? And how can we believe if we haven't heard? And how can we hear unless someone preaches to them? And that's what we're doing year-round in Israel, here in North America, in scattered Jewish communities around the world. We're proclaiming the good news of Jesus the Messiah to Jewish communities and their neighbors so that they can call upon Him.
You can look to the future, even the end times, with confidence. Make a gift of $40 or more, and Jonathan will send you his book and workbook, A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days. We also want to bless you for your support by sending you the Jewish Voice calendar for 2025. Call, write, or go online today. Or even better, become a new Shalom partner with your ongoing gift of $30 a month or more. We'll send you both books, calendar, plus you'll also receive this fully functional shofar and stand displayed in your home to remind you of how your partnership with Jewish Voice empowers humanitarian outreach and the spread of the gospel in Israel and around the world.
I believe the issues we're talking about today are central to your faith. They're important to God and they need to be important to you. You need to understand the connection between Israel and your relationship with God. Log on to the website and get involved as a partner with Jewish Voice today.
Gifts from Shalom Partners go 100% toward ministry work. Please call this toll-free number and friendly operators will help you set up your monthly gift. Scan the QR code. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. On behalf of the many Jewish people standing on the threshold of eternity, thank you so much.
To understand this, we have to go back earlier than Matthew 24 to Matthew 23. To set the context.
A chapter before.
Let's jump into that. So, and we'll put this up. Matthew 23.
Right.
And we're going to specifically look at the last verses beginning in verse 37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jerusalem is the bullseye. Jerusalem is the focal point. Mm-hmm. And he's weeping over Jerusalem and he says this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. He's talking about the leadership of Israel. Mm-hmm. Right? This is the capital. Right. This is the Washington of the land. How often I've longed to gather you or your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say in Hebrew, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Right. Incredible. And where's that language coming from? Yeshua, Jesus, isn't coming up with this language out of nowhere for the first time. This is actually language from Psalm 118.
That's right.
It's a psalm that was recited as you're going up to the temple in Jerusalem, and it's what we would call a messianic declaration.
Yeah, and you know what it's connected to in 118? If you read Psalm 118, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is why Yeshua's weeping, right? He's saying, my desire, right? He and the Father are one. So he's the God of Israel in flesh, right? In a body, saying, my desire for you was to be tender with you, like a mother, you know, a mother hen with the chicks right here under her wings. And the reason it can't happen is because you, Israel, weren't willing.
It's actually revealing that he won't become Messiah ben David. He's not going to be, at this time, King Messiah. He's not going to establish the kingdom that they've been waiting for, which is the messianic expectation of that time.
Right.
Even the disciples, are you going to set up your kingdom now so we have these mansions on the Sea of Galilee?
Exactly.
You know, no, that wasn't the plan. He's not yet Messiah ben David. He'll return as Messiah ben David, but he's Messiah ben Joseph. He's the son of Joseph rejected by his brothers. And this is part of the prophecy here. You won't see me again because I'm not going to be ruling over you. I'm going to die.
Wow.
And then I'm going to ascend to the Father.
Right. And this is, by the way, one of the biggest objections in the Jewish community to the messiahship of Jesus, right?
If
Jesus is the Messiah, if he's the one we've been waiting for, there should have been peace on earth. And he should have been ruling as king from Jerusalem.
That's the objection.
That's
the primary, overarching objection. But there's more to this that you have to understand. He's saying you won't see him again. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to the United Nations, the future right. United Nations. He's talking to the leadership of the people of Israel,
right.
centered in Jerusalem.
Wow.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, in order for those people, the leaders of Israel, the leaders of the people of Israel to cry out to him, tying into Zechariah 12, they will look upon him whom they have pierced and
right.
mourn for him
right.
as they recognize he's the Messiah. So they're crying out to him in a time of great distress.
Mm-hmm.
Baruch haba, blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord. We have to understand that the Jewish people now as a whole reject Jesus as the Messiah.
Right.
Except for us who are Jewish believers.
The remnant of Israel.
The remnant of
right.
Israel.
Right.
But what else is obvious here that is overlooked by so many Christians, almost every denomination, is that in order for this to happen, Jerusalem has to be restored to the Jewish people,
right.
beginning with Israel, the land of Israel, but specifically Jerusalem has to be
right.
restored.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It
yeah.
doesn't say, oh, people of Israel, wherever you are, you won't see me again until it's Jerusalem.
Right. In order for this to be fulfilled,
right.
which directly connects to the return of Jesus to the earth. He's not coming back to Rome.
Right.
He's not coming back to New York. He's coming back physically to a physical Jerusalem that must be under the control of the Jewish people again.
Right.
Okay, so that then requires the land of Israel to be restored to the people of Israel. That happened in 1948.
Right.
And many understood this. Many Christians understood this. They were praying for the restoration of the state of Israel, the restoration of the land of Israel,
sure.
because they understood that it was connected to the second coming.
Right.
And they were correct.
Right. But Jerusalem was not in Jewish hands in 1948.
No.
So this still couldn't be fulfilled.
No. So 1948 didn't fulfill this,
right.
although it started the fulfillment with the restoration of the state of Israel.
Right.
But they didn't have control over the old city of Jerusalem. It was a divided city. And what was outside of their hands was the Temple Mount.
Right.
And most of the old city. It was not under Palestinian control. It was under the control of Jordan.
Right.
In the Six-Day War, now we'll jump ahead from 1948 to 1967,
mm-hmm.
you have the outbreak of a war that Israel preemptively, the Arab countries, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, were about to attack, and Israel preemptively struck. And the war only lasted 6 days. On the seventh day, they rested.
Right.
Now, come on.
Yeah.
That's God's hand.
It's totally his hand.
The most consequential event that happened in the Six-Day War was the return of the Temple Mount and the Old City of Jerusalem into Jewish
yeah,
hands.
I've watched that old video. It's really
yeah,
poor
it's
quality. The audio's a little better, but still poor quality. But I cry when I hear it because you're seeing and you're hearing Jewish men in their army uniforms, just getting out of tanks, praying at the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall, the Kotel in Hebrew, of the Temple Mount for the first time in two millennia.
Yeah.
For the first time.
All they could do was look over the wall at the Temple Mount
right.
from the YMCA tower.
In Jerusalem.
Yeah, if you haven't been there, you don't understand, but if you've
right.
been there, you get it.
Okay, so 1967. So part one of two here is fulfilled. Jerusalem is back in Jewish hands.
Yeah, that was a necessity for the Messiah to return.
Okay.
Okay, that's very, very important. So that's happened. Jerusalem, Israel's now been restored. Jerusalem is now the capital. The U.S. has now recognized
right.
Jerusalem as the capital, although
right.
the U.N. and other countries don't. So let's go into
sure.
Matthew 24, because there's two questions that are asked and answered.
Okay.
Jesus, let's look at verse 1. Jesus left the temple. So they're in the temple, and this is a massive temple. This is the second temple.
Right.
That was rebuilt by Herod the Great after the return of the Babylonian captivity, and then it was really fully rebuilt by Herod before Jesus came, and it was magnificent.
Right.
And so they're in the temple, and they're walking away when the disciples came to him and asked, called attention to the building. And Yeshua says to them, verse 2, do you see all these things? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. You're not going to understand this unless you see that the remains of the Western Wall, which was the protective wall of the Temple Mount. If you go down through the tunnels, you see these Herodian stones that are 30 tons
each.
50 tons each. These aren't just stones that are picked up and thrown.
Right. It's actually mysterious to this day how the stones were even set in place.
This prophecy, not one stone would be left on another, is mind-blowing. I think that one stone, Ezra, is the biggest one is about 300 tons.
Right.
This is hard to comprehend.
You have to go into the tunnel to see it, but there it is.
The disciples couldn't even comprehend this because this is a magnificent structure with these huge 20-30 foot stones that are hewn out in the quarry, and we don't even know how they were able to get.
Right, and Yeshua is saying, I'm telling you the truth, mark my words, it's going to be completely decimated.
Yeah, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be torn down.
Okay.
This has been fulfilled. This is already fulfilled.
How so?
So let me go on. Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and they came to him privately, and they asked Yeshua, tell us, when will this happen?
Yeah.
Question number one. And question number two, what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? So the first question is, when will these stones be torn down? When will the temple be left desolate? And that was fulfilled in 70 AD. So Yeshua was prophesying of the destruction of the temple by the Romans in 70 AD when they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They burned the city of Jerusalem, and they actually dismantled the temple.
70 AD.
70 AD.
And what's interesting is Daniel actually speaks of that event. He talks about the destruction of the temple.
Yes.
And he says very clearly, check this if you don't believe us. He says, this will happen after the anointed one or the Messiah is cut off. In Hebrew, it means after the anointed one is killed. And it says, but not for his own sake.
Well, Daniel's even more specific. He talks about an abomination of desolation
right.
that happened during the Syrian
right.
revolt, right?
Right?
And then the Syrian occupation and the Maccabean revolt. And then they restore the temple, but then he declares after the Messiah is revealed, the temple will be completely
exactly.
destroyed.
So the temple will be destroyed after the Messiah is cut off, but not for his own sake. And we know it's a historical fact that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD.
Ezra, I'm marveling as we talk about this, how specific Bible prophecy is,
right.
predictive Bible prophecy in detail.
And
the Messiah has to come before the destruction of the temple, according to the book of Daniel, chapter 9.
Most of our family members, the Jewish community worldwide, can't see it. We're
yeah.
blind to the Messiahship of
yeah.
Jesus. That's why
I'm
you need
so
to
thankful.
Pray for the salvation of the Jewish people.
As our partners sow into us to bring the gospel to the remotest parts of the world, to Jewish communities and their neighbors, along with our partner ministries in Israel, our ultimate goal is to see all Israel saved.
You can look to the future, even the end times, with confidence. Make a gift of $40 or more, and Jonathan will send you his book and workbook, A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days. We also want to bless you for your support by sending you the Jewish Voice calendar for 2025. Call, write, or go online today. Or even better, become a new Shalom partner with your ongoing gift of $30 a month or more. We'll send you both books, calendar, plus you'll also receive this fully functional shofar and stand displayed in your home to remind you of how your partnership with Jewish Voice empowers humanitarian outreach and the spread of the gospel in Israel and around the world.
I believe the issues we're talking about today are central to your faith. They're important to God and they need to be important to you. You need to understand the connection between Israel and your relationship with God. Log on to the website and get involved as a partner with Jewish Voice today.
Gifts from Shalom Partners go 100% toward ministry work. Please call this toll-free number and friendly operators will help you set up your monthly gift. Scan the QR code. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv. On behalf of the many Jewish people standing on the threshold of eternity, thank you so much.
We are clearly moving towards the last days. The world is getting darker and darker. There's more turmoil. There's more uncertainty. The Bible says today is the day of your salvation. if you haven't yet invited Yeshua, Jesus, into your heart and made a decision to walk with the Lord, to serve Him, today's the day. Don't wait till tomorrow. I want to encourage you, please, don't wait. Just simply ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. But this is by faith. By faith. Just simply ask Him. Say, Amen. Lord, come into my life, change me, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Yeshua, that Jesus died for me, and I receive Him as my Lord, Savior, and Messiah. Amen. And if you'll do that, the Lord will change you day by day. I can tell you, for 44 years now, I've been walking with the Lord, and it started with that confession of faith. So don't let this moment go by. We also want to take a moment to pray for those of you that have needs. We know there's pressing needs. The economy is bad. It's hard to put food on our table. And there's other needs that we know you have, and the Lord knows. And that's the most important thing. So in the name of Yeshua, in Jesus' name, we just agree with you. We pray that every need will be met. Lord, answer the prayers of your people. Thank you that you're a loving God who cares and answers prayer. In the name of Yeshua, in Jesus' name, it shall be done. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website, jewishvoice.tv. You can find many helpful resources there, and you can send your prayer request to us right on the website. I want you to know that we really care about you here at Jewish Voice, but more importantly, God cares about you. And we will be praying for your needs by name. So we close our program. I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 admonish us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then we're told, may they prosper who love thee. So if you pray for Israel and you love the people of Israel, God will prosper you. Thanks to you, Ezra, for joining me today. And until next time, this is Jonathan Bernis saying shalom and God bless you. Hey, I want to make you aware of our new Jewish Voice mobile app, by the way. It's easy to download, and it will provide you with up-to-date information about what's happening in Israel, about our ministry projects. You can also view our television program. We have special reports right on the app, and it's free. You just enter MyJVMI in your app store, and then you download it onto your device, and I hope you'll do it today.